Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a great message and song. Our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west, and that's never to be brought back to our account. Only God's able to do that. God's able to do all things, and He can truly just wipe it out and forget it. As I taught in Sunday school this morning, we want to forgive. Forgiving is not forgetting. It's because you can't forget. It's on your mind. It's in your heart. But you can agree to put it aside and never bring it back up again. Amen? What a blessing that is. But God forgets. He washes it completely away. What a blessing that is. Revelation chapter 19. As we get back into our studies, we're going through the book of Revelation. We studied every book of the Bible. We did a series on Sunday night, one message on each book of the Bible. Then we got into the book of Revelations. We've been breaking it down and been studying in the book of Revelations all that God has for us. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through eternity future. The Bible is the most accurate account of history that humanity has. And don't let anybody else tell you any different. The Bible is the most accurate account of history because it's God who has preserved it for us. It's God who has written it down. He spoke through men and He worked through men, but it was God dictating what would be written down. And it's God who has preserved it for us today that we might be able to understand what God wants us to understand concerning the past, present, and the future. And so the Bible, praise the Lord for it, the most accurate truth that we have concerning past, present, and future. God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. Whatever God has revealed in the Scriptures, He has a purpose for that. He wants us to learn from that. He wants us to have this information, especially as we look into the book of Revelation and we're looking into the future. God wants us to understand the future events, and it will help us today. It will impact your life today when you realize that there is going to be a rapture of the church. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. There's going to be that millennial reign of Christ. And there will be an eternity in either a place of heaven or a place of hell. It will do something for us. When we understand the truth of these future events, it will help us to put priorities where they belong. Focus on the eternal things instead of the temporal things. If we don't have any information and we don't believe in these eternal truths that God has given to us, you're going to focus on the here and now. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Amen? But God is more interested in the eternal things than the temporal things. And we need to understand that God's given us insight into the eternal things. And so He has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. Good men differ on some of the interpretations, especially in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of typology there. The time frame, there's a little bit of discrepancy as far as what it could be versus something else. And so good men will differ. Now, good men do not differ on doctrine. If they differ on doctrine, they're not good men. Amen? We need to focus on Bible doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, exactly what Christ has revealed. And we don't differ on that. Good men do not differ on that. But there's an allowance to differ on some of the interpretations, and that's all right. I'm not going to argue over anything that is not clearly revealed to us and that is left up to difference of interpretation. And there's no reason to argue over those things. And we'll be looking at a couple of those things even tonight. But good men can differ on some of the interpretations. And the last thing in this study that I've been repeating every time is that this is a practical study. I am a practical preacher. I want to take the Word of God and preach it in a way that God intends for us to apply it to our lives. And the book of Revelation, there's a lot of biblical principles taught, not only in the past, but also in the future history, in the future events, rather, that God's revealed to us. And we've been learning these things and making some practical applications that God would have us to learn from understanding the future events, okay? Chapter 6 through chapter 19 are dealing with the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period. All the different things that happens there, there's some difference of interpretation as far as how long each one of these judgments last and just where they're placed within the 7 years. All I want to understand, all I want you to understand is that all the judgment's going to take place in a 7-year time frame. And it's going to follow the rapture of the church. Okay? And then we have the 7-year tribulation period. And there's much that we've been studying that's going to take place. During the 7-year tribulation on this earth, there's going to be two main events taking place in heaven. And we studied that last week. The two main events is going to be taking place in heaven during the 7-year tribulation is the judgment seat of Christ, where all believers that are raptured up will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we've done with our salvation. Give an account for our works, whether good or bad. That's what the Bible reveals. We studied that last week. And then after that, we find the marriage of the church as the wife, the bride of Christ. And then lastly, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a blessing that was to study that great event it's called in the scriptures the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's the last thing that's going to take place before the second coming to the earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outlined in scripture concerning future events, and that's where we're at tonight. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, the second coming of Christ. Stand with me, we'll read the word of God together tonight. And I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for, first of all, loving us. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you have revealed to us through your holy word. Thank you for the history that we can look back to and the example of the nation of Israel. And thank you for revealing to us this current church age that we are living in and what will take place during this church age and how it will end. And then, Father, for those future events that we look forward to, I just pray, God, that as we are studying these now, that you'd give each one the insight that we have need of to be able to learn of its truth and apply whatever you would have us to apply with having this knowledge. Pray that you'd meet with us once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, what a blessing. Now, as we understand, Christ will not return until the 7-year tribulation period is over. The rapture would take place today. 7 years from today, this is what would be taking place. It could be taking place in 7 years. I mean, hallelujah. Think about that. If the rapture were to take place tonight, then we have this understanding there's going to be a 7-year time frame. After the 7-year time frame, he reveals to us what's going to take place on this earth, the tribulation period. We saw what he told us is going to take place in heaven during those 7 years. And then 7 years from tonight, if the rapture took place tonight, what we're reading right here is going to take place. If the rapture doesn't take place for another 10 years, then 10 years... 17 years, this is going to take place. If the rapture doesn't take place for another 100 years, Can I tell you that 107 years from now, this is going to take place? We don't know when the rapture is going to take place. It will not take place until God says it's time for it to take place. But as we look around today, everything about humanity, is prepared for what will take place during the tribulation period. The mentality of humanity, of a one world system, a world one world religion, a one world currency, a one world government, as we've been going over and over, it is developing all around us. And so the rapture is the next event that God has revealed in prophecy. Everything else leading up to the rapture, what the Bible has prophesied will take place, has taken place. Exciting to know that. God wants us to know that. That's why He's revealed it to us. And we ought to live as if the rapture could take place tonight. It might make a difference. If it was going to take place tonight, I think it would make a difference on how long you'd want to stay in church tonight. And maybe even your activities after church tonight. And your prayer life before you went to sleep tonight. Amen. I believe that's, God wants us to know it could happen. And so as understanding it could happen, then I need to be prepared. We have to do something like Christ taught His disciples, to watch. Amen. To watch and pray, because it's coming. You just don't know when. But you can be assured of this. It is coming. Well, we've gone through the seven-year tribulation. This is actually the beginning of the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Because before we can have the Battle of Armageddon, which will end the tribulation period, and Jesus establishing His throne on earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years, the millennial reign, then Christ has to return. This is, if you will, the end of the seven-year tribulation period. That's why we say it's still in chapter 19, verses chapter 6 through 19 reveals a tribulation period. So the second coming of Jesus Christ has much to say about this. But I believe there's two most important things that I'm going to present to you tonight out of the passage of Scripture we just read. And the first would be John. The first thing he says about Christ's return, and I saw, underline this, heaven opened. Heaven is going to open up. Now, a lot of people want to bypass that and they want to say, and behold a white horse. And there's controversy concerning a white horse. Concerning, is it a physical horse that's going to be in the heavens, in the skies? Is it going to be a huge, giant white horse? And behind this white horse is all of the armies that come with Christ are going to ride this another white horse. And again, if that's what you want to believe, then believe that. Doesn't make a difference. It's going to appear to those on this earth, whether it's a cloud that looks like a white horse, whatever it might be, it's what's important here is not if it's a physical white horse or how God is going to work all that out, if there's that many white horses available. Listen to me, don't lose sight of God. He spoke the worlds into existence. Don't bring God down to your mentality. Don't limit God with our limitations. But the idea here is the heavens are opened. Yeah, it reveals some things about the white horse, and that's fine. And we understand the real meaning of the white horse is that it was a symbol of victory. It was a symbol of coming into a conquered land. And He is going to come as a conqueror. His first coming, He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Symbolic. For He came as a sacrificial lamb, humbling Himself. Almighty God humbled Himself to become a man. And humbling Himself to become a man and live in this physical body, He laid His life down on the cross of Calvary. And so he came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And just the opposite. When he comes a second time, he's not coming in the same humble humility. He's coming as a conqueror. He's coming as a conqueror, and we will see him as he's riding on a white stallion. He's riding on a conquering animal, if you will. He is coming as a symbol of victory. That's what we're looking at here. Is the heavens are open and we see the conqueror. We see Jesus as in his holiness, in all of his deity, leading the charge, coming back to this earth. So with that in mind, then what's most important is that heaven is opened for all to see. Don't get confused. He's not coming from outer space. He placed the stars in space. The Bible reveals that God is in heaven, and the heaven is a third heaven, a third atmosphere, if you will. This heaven that we have around us, the atmosphere that we live in. The second heaven would be the atmosphere of space. It's uninhabitable for man. It was not created to be able to sustain man. The earth was created with the atmosphere, with a heaven to be able to sustain humanity. But then the Bible says that there is a third heaven, and the third heaven is the very abode of God. Paul was called up into the third heaven. He's seen things that was not meant for men to see. God revealed them to him. What a blessing that was for Paul. But what a blessing that was for us, for it to be recorded, to realize it's a third heaven. It's not outer space. Now, I believe when the rapture takes place, and even when Christ returns in the battle of Armageddon, the world is going to be looking at that there has been a possible invasion from outer space, and that's what's going to get the armies together, and that's what the people are going to excuse away the rapture of the believer, believing there's some kind of an alien force here that's doing whatever. And is that not being set up today? It truly is. But as we study the Bible, and we've had this prophecy for some 2,000 years, we've had the completion of the Word of God for 2,000 years, to know that the Bible has always taught us that there is a third heaven. And when Christ returns, heaven is going to be opened. A dimension that we cannot see with the naked eye, unless God opens our eyes. Can I tell you that heaven is all around us even today? There's actually spiritual beings. There's the demonic spirits, and there's the angels of God all around us today. You just can't see them. You can't communicate with them. They're not there for you to communicate with. It's not God's intent. But to know that they're there is a blessing. That third heaven, I've heard someone describe it. I forget even who it was now, but it's stuck in my mind because I thought, that's a good illustration. God is to man what the ocean is to fish. Fish in the ocean, they're not aware of the ocean. That's just their environment. But the ocean feels every move of everything that's in it. The ocean as a whole feels every move of every creature in the ocean. And until that fish is taken out of the ocean, they didn't realize what they had in the ocean. They can't exist. They can't breathe. Why? Because they were not created to live in this atmosphere. They were created to live in the ocean. And God feels every move that we make. God feels and knows every thought that takes place in your brain. He knows every emotion that you experience. Now again, That's beyond our comprehension. That's beyond our understanding, but we know it's true because that's what the Bible reveals about God. He knows of every hair on your head, even if you don't have any. He knows what used to be there. It just reveals God and His omniscience, His sovereignty. And God's revealed Himself to us through His Word, so we can know God. So it's heaven is a different dimension that we cannot see with the naked eye unless God opens our eyes. There's examples of this in the Scriptures. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 with Jacob. Now, again, we're in the book of Revelation, and this is what the first thing that he says about the second coming of Christ, heaven is opened. And the whole world is going to be able to view heaven. In Genesis chapter 28, and Jacob here, the Bible says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, this was a vision that God had given Jacob, but this is a vision that is recorded and that Jacob would hold on to, understanding that there's angels ascending and descending. There's angels all around us in this third heaven, this abode of God, this dimension that I cannot see, but is very much there. If you've ever been into a situation where there was a lot of evil around you, a lot of evil activity, and you sense the presence, things that you couldn't see, but you knew were around. That's that dimension that we can't see, but you can surely understand it's there. Even when you're around the church. When you come into church, because of what God tells us, is He says that where two or three gathered together, there am I in the midst. We know that He is here in the midst, and we can't see Him physically with the naked eye. What a blessing to be able to sense and to feel the presence of God. Amen. That ocean is to the fish. So we find here that he reveals to us that he wanted Jacob to understand this. He wanted Jacob to know that there's angels all around you and they ascend and descend from this dimension of heaven. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, look there with me. 2 Kings in chapter 6. Verse 13. Elisha and his servant. The armies came down and were going to take Elisha. The servant was scared to death because he saw all the physical enemy, the force around him. Elisha wasn't a bit disturbed. He wasn't a bit afraid. In the 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. And therefore sent he thither the horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? We're in trouble now. What are we going to do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The armies of God. All around, he just couldn't see them. Elisha knew they was there, so he had no fear. And he said, God, open his eyes. Show him what's there that the naked eye can't see. And God opened his eyes to see this dimension. Acts in chapter 7. What am I saying? Remember, we're in the book of Revelation. The second coming, the world is going to see this dimension. It's going to be, it's not coming from outer space. It'll be in the clouds. It'll be in the sky. The Bible reveals that. But that's how it's going to open up. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Stephen, preaching the word of God, and was persecuted. Verse 54, the Bible says, and when they heard these things that Stephen had preached, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. God opened his eyes. God allowed him to see what the naked eye could not see outside of God opening his eyes. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened. I see the heaven. That's what it's going to be. He's looking into this third heaven. He's looking into this dimension that we can't see. And I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Look back to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. It's all through the scriptures. That's what I'm revealing to you. God has it for us to see throughout the scriptures, understanding this dimension, this third heaven. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. As Peter was with the Lord on the mountain of transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus, chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Possibly the way he's going to look when he's coming back in glory. It's what the world's going to see him. Then answered, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now they're seeing something that Christ has opened up their eyes to see. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciple heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision what God's opened your eyes to see. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Wow. And we have it recorded for us. Can I tell you tonight that we must not limit ourselves to what we can see? Don't limit yourself by what you can only see with the naked eye. But rather, focus on what we only see through faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We have faith to know that there is a third heaven. We have faith to know that there are angels all around us. We have faith to believe and to know that God is here with us. He is present with us. You can't go anywhere without the presence of God being with you. And if you're saved tonight, then I kind of tell you, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. Can't see him. Jesus taught, you won't be able to see him, but you can sure see the result of the wind. You see the trees blowing over. You can't see the wind, but you can sure see the results of the wind's presence. And you might not be able to see the Spirit of God, but you can see and even feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God around and in us. Wow. All will be able to see the spiritual kingdom. When Christ returns, God will open it up to the vision of everyone who is on the planet. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells of this event. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. This is him telling of the prophecy of his second coming. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We see the lightning in the sky. We see it all around the earth. His coming is going to be that way. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. And that's going to be this battle that's going to take place. And we'll see that next week. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the 7-year tribulation, those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven. He's not coming from outer space. You're limiting God. You think of the vastness of space, and yet the Bible says you're limiting God by thinking that he's coming from outer space. It's not happening. The stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. All the tribes of the earth around the world, they'll see this heaven opened. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, he didn't say anything about the white horse. Amen? It could be. But he says he's going to see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's what's most important. Heaven will be opened and they will see Christ in power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So as we go back in the book of Revelation, we find the first and most important thing here that's revealed to us concerning his second coming is the idea that heaven is opened. All humanity will now know that Christ is real. He is God. And there is an eternity to face. And then verses 11 through 16, the second thing that's second most important. Jesus will be seen for who he truly is and has always been. They won't see him as a sacrificial lamb. They'll see him for who he is and who he's always been. And the first thing it says about him is he's faithful and true. Whatever he's revealed, you can put your faith in it. Mark it down, it's true. If you read it and study it and it's what Christ said, it's faithful and it's true. You can count on it. Faithful and true. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, let me just read to you here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and verse 24, says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's going to take place. He's going to preserve us unto the coming of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He can preserve us. Amen. Verse 13 and 15. It says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called, listen to me, the Word of God. Verse 15, he says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. The Bible, the very scriptures that we read, the very scriptures that we have in our hand tonight, is called the sword of the Spirit. It's what God has given to us that has the power of God attached to it. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it should smite the nations. He's going to win the victory. He's going to win the battle with the word of God, with just spoken out of his mouth. With it should smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He's revealed in John in chapter 1 as the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Everything about Jesus Christ from his coming the first time through what he established while he was here and now in the book of Revelation is what he's going to be when he returns. It all focuses on the most important thing that we have during this church age, and that is the Word. His church is built upon his word. Amen. Salvation is based upon what thus saith the Lord. There's no other plan. There's no other way. Your prayer life is going to be determined by what you do according to the word of God. The word of God is what reveals to us everything about our past. The Word of God is what reveals to us everything about our present right now, this church age. And it's the Word of God that reveals everything that we understand and can know about future events. And His coming back, the most important thing is that heaven is going to be opened. Everyone will understand that there is a God in heaven. They'll all understand that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. And as He's returning to this earth, He is revealing Himself as the Word. Which ought to help us to see the most important thing before He returns is to focus on His Word. This Bible has been under attack ever since the very beginning. Satan knows the power of his Word. There have been men, Hitler, Stalin, other men in history that has made the declaration, I will stamp out the Jew and I will stamp out the very word of God. Those men are dead and in hell today, and the word of God is flourishing. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Why? Because it's what we're going to be judged from. It's what God has left for us to know Him. It's what God has left for us to know the true church. To know what is a church. To know what is to be preached. To know what God wants to use to feed the flock of God, to help His children to grow, to help nurture, to feed them the very sincere milk of the Word and then look into the meat of the Word for them to continue to grow thereby. It always has been focused and it should always be focused. We ought to be focused on what thus saith the Lord. And the only way to know that is what God has written down and preserved for us to know. And when He returns, it's going to be highlighted. Faithful and true. His name is called the Word of God. And it's a word that's going to come out of His mouth as a sword. The Bible is what's most important. It's what God has written down and preserved for us. And then lastly, we find verse 16. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do not look to any king or lord as being a higher authority. There is no higher authority. If we believe that Christ came the first time, Easter's coming up. Amen. It's something that as a Christian nation that we were established to be put on our calendar. The date that he was crucified and a day that he resurrected from the grave. We also have a date that signifies that he was born. Christmas. Easter. There's no doubt the life of Christ impacted this world like no other life ever before or after him. There's no doubt history itself reveals that he walked on the face of the earth. Whether you believe him to be the Son of God, whether you believe him to be deity or not, the Bible claims him to be the Son of God, and the Bible reveals him to be deity, God in the flesh. But you can't deny the fact that he walked on the face of this earth 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Amen? And his word is still alive. And you're here tonight to hear it preached. If we believe that he came the first time, how can we doubt his second coming? He was prophesied all through the Old Testament. He's coming. 2,000 years ago, he came. And as he ascended to heaven, he left with us this most important message. I will come again. Now we're studying it in the book of Revelation. It's going to happen. It is a future event that could take place tonight. Well, the rapture could take place tonight. His second coming would have to be 7 years after. But it is going to take place. The question would be, are we ready for it? Even if the rapture doesn't take place for another 10 years, 20 years, you're not promised tomorrow. If your life was to end tonight, it would be the same as the rapture taking place, because your life on this earth would be over. And once your life on this earth is over, you cannot make any other decisions for Christ. So even if he does not come back tonight, if you were to close your eyes in death tonight, are you ready for what is sure to take place after? If not, you need to get ready. If not, you need to come to this altar and respond to what God has spoken to you about concerning preparing yourself for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. God has revealed what he's revealed for a purpose. We know it's going to take place. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, we understand it's been written down, and it's faithful and true. What he has revealed to us is faithful and true. Are we prepared for whatever a day may bring? Heaven will open. Heaven will open. And all will see him for who he is and has always been. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of the book of Revelation and revealing to us what will take place at the second coming of Christ to this earth. I pray that you'd help us all, Lord God, to be able to receive what we've heard tonight and make whatever application necessary. There's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that tonight would be the night that they would be saved. There's a Christian here that's not living as they ought to be living in preparation for your soon return. I pray, God, they would see the need for that and they would surrender and dedicate themselves to serving you, living for you. Whatever the need, however you've spoken to us, I pray that there would be decisions made that would draw us closer to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.